From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Thinking sideways. Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Ho, ho, ho!
Well, happy holidays, everybody, from Thinking Sideways. As always, I am Steve, joined by my lovely co-host...
Joe.
And Devin.
Wow.
I don't know.
You were just pointing to him. I thought I wasn't lovely anymore.
No, you're lovely and merry.
You're all right.
And your little elf hat.
Aww,
because it's the holidays.
You noticed.
Yeah.
Well, since it's that happy time of year, we decided that in our tradition of investigating stories about the holidays, that we'd look into the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah.
That's a big mystery. This, by the way, was a listener suggestion. Suggested by... No, just kidding.
Blitzen.
Yeah.
If you somehow aren't familiar with the story of Rudolph, here is the story of Rudolph.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Now that you know the story of Rudolph, though, the question is, how did he come to be and why does his nose glow? And each of us has done a little research. We've kind of gone out and got our own theories as to where all this comes from.
They're widely divergent.
They kind of are. I personally believe that I've gotten to the bottom of the story.
Yeah, okay.
Right, okay.
Okay. And I think the whole thing starts with Santa.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. So we all think that Santa is a... We all know that Santa's the good guy who takes toys to the good girls and boys. But I also... I personally believe that Santa is a bit of a mad scientist. And I think that's how this happened. In my extremely cursory investigation into genetic manipulation, I think I figured out how this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, Santa actually, you know, was pretty busy one day of the year, but after that, he had a lot of time on his hands.
Exactly.
Huh?
He had to do something to kill time.
Yeah, why not build a big old laboratory?
So I personally think that Santa made Rudolph. And I think, well, Santa's a master of genetic manipulation, and he lured some unsuspecting reindeer into his lab, probably with a handful of grass or
little
maybe
hay,
a carrot or something. And then once he got the little guy in there, he started the process of creating his own glowing reindeer.
So now are you saying that Rudolph's nose glowed or that Rudolph glowed overall?
Well, let me finish this and you'll get an idea. The first step was in this, you know, this bioengineering of a reindeer was to introduce traits of a creature that is known as a nudibranch.
I'm sorry, a what?
A nudibranch. Nudibranchs, this is a big sciencey word, nudibranchs are a member of the family of nudibranchia, which they're soft-bodied mollusks. They're basically slugs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They have this awesome ability to incorporate certain bits of biology from creatures that they consume into their bodies.
Why didn't we develop that?
I don't know, that would be kind of cool. I know. I'd be eating lions all the time and stuff.
Well, here's what they do. Is there's a certain nudibranch, which is called the sea swallow, and it feeds on the Portuguese man of war, which, you know, is a jellyfish with nasty, nasty stingers.
Mm-hmm.
It eats them. It incorporates the stinger and the toxin into itself, so it is dangerous to other creatures that try to eat it.
So it's Kirby.
Yeah.
It's Kirby.
Got it. Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly
I'm with it. Yeah, okay.
From there, Santa, again, being the super scientist that he is, figured out how to introduce Angel's Glow into the animal system. And Angel's Glow is, I'm going to destroy this, but it is a photohabdrous luminescent creature. I believe that might be how you say it.
Or photorhabdrous.
That could be correct as well. Angel's Glow is a bacteria that is bioluminescent.
Okay.
So this is where I'm getting the glowing part in. There's actually accounts of soldiers in the Civil War getting this bacteria into their wounds, and the wounds would glow at night. And oddly enough, it had kind of an antibacterial effect on the wounds, so it helped sterilize them, which is an awesome side effect.
How could a bacteria be antibiotic?
I mean, I guess...
Maybe it killed off other bacteria.
It's poisonous to other bacteria. And
amazing.
This is Santa who figured this out and not me.
Not you. Oh, okay.
So I don't know how this works.
Okay, Steve.
But what he's doing is that he's introducing this into their food, and because they've got this... this trait of the, what was that little guy called? The Angel's Glow? No. The sea swallow. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not the Angel's Glow is the bacteria. The sea swallow is the critter that was incorporated into said reindeer, the poor little guy he lured in. And from there, created a glowing reindeer. Now, the great thing is the reindeer don't glow all the time because he only needs them to glow at a little bit of the year at a time. So
like 2 days, one day.
Yeah, so he didn't feed it this thing the whole time, but that's how he gets a reindeer that glows. So I'm saying the whole reindeer is glowing, not just the nose. Rudolph, by the way, I don't think is a single reindeer, because unless we're going to say he's a magical reindeer, reindeer live like 10 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that because he's a master of manipulation, he's also cloning said reindeer.
So he's probably either that or he's just created this master race of glowing reindeer.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. You don't. What is the head shake?
No,
no, I mean, okay, yes. Rudolph's nose glows by bioluminescence. That's that much is clear. Okay, I'm willing to give you that.
You're in line with me on that.
I am in line with you that the nose is bioluminescent.
But not the rest of the reindeer.
No, he's obviously an alien.
Okay.
No,
let's hear your theory.
Okay, here's. Listen. Okay. Obviously, like, no, he wasn't engineered. It makes a lot of sense because he can fly, right? And his nose is bioluminescent. And we don't have mammals that have evolved to have bioluminescent parts on Earth. But on other planets, there would be the necessity for that potentially. Who knows? Listen, you don't know. Have you been to another planet? Do you know?
No.
Yeah.
I actually haven't, unfortunately.
See? There you go. So, you just have to do the math. I mean, really, like, really, there are a lot of alien sightings around. There are UFO sightings around the North Pole. Just, like, do the math, people. Aliens are among us in the form of Rudolph.
Uh-huh. Now, do you think...
I'm sorry, are you laughing at my, like, very well-done research right now?
No.
Are you sure? Because you look like you're laughing.
I'm laughing at the idea, not the research.
Oh, okay. So, wait, but I can prove it.
He's laughing with you, not at you.
Do you remember last year we talked about Santa?
Uh-huh.
And we talked about how it became clear through lots of analysis that we didn't do, that we stole from other people, that he's just using quantum mechanics to, like, make it to all the different houses. I feel like we kind of agreed that was what was happening.
Yeah.
Right? Well...
No, actually, I said it was magic.
Okay, well, you were wrong. Where do you think Santa found all of the quantum mechanics science? Like, really, where do you think? Like, do you think he just, like, was like, oh, suddenly I know how to use quantum mechanics? No, Rudolph gave it to him, obviously. The talking reindeer with the bioluminescent nose. That's why Santa was like, oh, hey, I can't figure out how to do any of this. Oh, it's foggy. I can't do anything. And then Rudolph was like, oh, hey, you know what? Actually, you remember how I'm an alien? Cool. Let's do this. And he helped him.
But it would actually make more sense for Rudolph to help him just engineer like a heads-up display, like a FLIR display, like forward-looking infrared.
Okay,
you know.
Despite the fact that Rudolph is an alien, he's still a reindeer.
Doesn't have the opposable thumbs.
Not opposable thumbs.
He flies. He doesn't need to like do a heads-up display. He can just be like, oh, hey, yeah, no, attach it. Like, we'll just fly. That's cool. I'll use my bioluminescent nose to like see through the fog. No problem. And then you use your quantum mechanics to get us there even faster. I feel like that's a win-win. It's obviously... I'm sorry, is that... That's a look of disapproval.
Joe, you're the one giving the funny look.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know. That bioluminescent nose obviously is true, though, right? I mean,
well, how do
Steve
you know?
And I... Steve and I, we agree on that. I mean, of course, if he was an alien, most of the planets that, like, any alien would come from would probably be darker than ours. There are hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of habitable, life-supporting planets in this universe, right? Obviously...
That are in the Goldilocks zone.
That are in the Goldilocks zone. Obviously, he knows how to fly, or he can fly, or he has whatever quantum mechanics himself to fly. He can help Santa fly much faster, so they could travel from the far reaches of the universe. As he's an alien, he doesn't age. He doesn't have the natural age restrictions of the normal reindeer, which you said was 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously he's outlived that.
So he's nearly immortal then.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they're making a lot of advances in human aging too. I mean, it might be some of our descendants will live to be 200-300 years old.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, obviously he's an alien. Case in point, case closed, really.
Well, have you considered the possibility that perhaps his origins were actually terrestrial, but that he was abducted by aliens and modified?
No, I didn't. No,
no. No, there's a big, huge body of research on that particular theory.
Abducted reindeer?
Yeah, exactly.
I actually didn't find any of that, which is interesting. I was really putting
kinda,
two and two together.
You kind of have to find that. Yeah, I kind of have to look in the dark corners of my mind. Yeah,
it's like, okay. Yeah. Oh, there's lots of research on the internet of Joe's mind.
Yeah, I know.
Got it.
Mm. Okay, well, this is why both of your theories suck. I'm going to tell you.
No.
All right, to answer the question of why did his nose glow? Well, the answer is it didn't glow.
Wait.
It's a myth. Yep.
Oh.
Yep. Let me explain.
I'm sorry. Are you saying that Rudolph is a myth?
No, Rudolph was real. Rudolph actually did exist. He might still be alive for all I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so let's go back to the beginning. He was born into a respectable North Pole reindeer family, date and year of birth unknown. Rudolph was a sickly child. As he grew older, he became somewhat bookish. Being a bit of a weakling and also being good at school didn't really earn him any friends or allies.
So you're saying he was the reindeer equivalent of a nerd?
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Did he wear glasses?
That's unknown.
Oh.
He might have worn contacts.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, anyway,
reindeer contacts.
Yeah. Speaking of allies,
it'd be so hard to put in your eye.
Oh, no. getting him back out would be even tougher.
Ow.
Yeah. So I wanted to put a couple of myths to rest. So I talked about friends. There was a 1964 documentary on Rudolph's life, which first introduced this claim that Rudolph made friends with a young elf named Hermie.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you seen that film?
Oh,
absolutely,
yeah. A million times.
Yeah,
it's
Hermie.
A hard-hitting documentary.
Oh, it is, yeah. But a lot of journalistic malpractice here, though, frankly. Hermie, the elf, dreamed of becoming a dentist.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, no, elves eat elven food, which does not cause tooth decay. You don't need dentists up at the North Pole.
What about all the candy?
Yeah, no, they don't eat candy.
Oh.
That's for kids.
Oh.
It's because they secretly hate humans and they want to rot their teeth out.
Oh.
But, you know, if he had succeeded in getting into dental school, and good luck with that, loser, since there aren't any dental schools at the North Pole, he would have had a pretty lonely professional life. And he would have had to have shuttered his business after the first month or so and go to work in the night shift at the plaid pantry.
Do they have plaid pantries up there? I thought that was a local chain.
Yeah. I think they're called something else up there.
Oh.
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, similar thing. But
the
Hermie, if he had ever existed, would have been toiling away in Santa's sweatshops. And it's really unlikely that he and Rudolph would ever even have met. And also because reindeer carry the ticks that cause Lyme disease, elves generally gave them a wide berth. So no Hermie. But and the Hermie thing is not the only bit of BS that this so-called documentary introduced into the whole Rudolph story. The film itself was narrated by a guy named Burl Ives. Now, Burl Ives was a singer. He was not a reporter or a journalist in any way, shape, or form. And to tell you the truth, guys, it's hard to take anything that calls itself a documentary seriously when it's not hosted by someone like Geraldo Rivera. I mean, really, guys, now take better care in your personnel choices next time, don't you think?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, yes.
Another big lie that these jokers put out in this film is that the Yeti, also known as the Abominable Snowman, you remember that?
Yeah.
That
he was fun and lovable and had blue eyes.
He was just misunderstood. And that is actually really pretty cool once he got his aching tooth fixed by that fictitious elf named Hermie.
Huh.
In reality, the Yeti is a vicious 800-pound monster that'll tear your head off and make the rest of you into jerky
also,
if it gets a chance.
And he'll just, like, you know, suddenly appear in the middle of a platinum pyramid. Was it platinum?
Yeah.
Pyramid?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, not a guy you want to run into. But thanks to these jokers that made this, what's the word I'm thinking of, execrable film. The myth of the benevolent Yeti lives on, and every year without fail, at least a couple of tourists wind up getting their faces torn off when they get out of their cars to feed the nice Yeti. So, folks, take my word for it, there's no such thing as a nice Yeti. All right? Okay. And one last thing, and then I'll get off my high horse here. Now, they also claim that there's a place called the Island of Misfit Toys. And that Rudolph and Hermie went to this island. And this is also, again, pure BS. You can't find this island on Google Maps, right?
You can't walk around Street View, yeah. So it must not be real.
Yeah. No, I looked, I checked. And,
of course you did.
Yeah, I did. And no, it's not there. And that's my second big thing. It's like, seriously, who exactly transports these misfit toys to this island? And doesn't that strike you as an amazing waste of time and energy?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the dump is a pretty good alternative.
Oh.
It'd be a lot closer.
Yeah.
Although they're living toys, so.
So?
No!
He's
my childhood!
He's so cruel!
They're just. But anyway, there really actually is already a place for misfit toys to go to, and it's called the Goodwill.
And they'll pick
up. You
guys
probably heard of it.
They pick up.
Oh, they pick up?
Yeah.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, you don't even have to go there. They'll pick up for you.
Yeah.
This episode's sponsored by... No, I'm kidding. Sorry.
Yeah. Sponsored by Goodwill. But yeah.
It's not.
Yeah, maybe this island of misfit toys was a metaphor for the dump or the Goodwill or the basement, but, you know, I think it should go without saying that metaphors don't belong in documentaries, right? But enough of me savaging this week's season of a film. Let's get back to Rudolph and let's talk about his real story.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
Please.
Yeah.
Please,
yeah.
You have diverged.
I got off into the weeds there. I apologize. So anyway, I owe a good deal of my analysis here to Professor Hans Morgenthau of the University of Munich at Dusseldorf, who is one of the world's most famous Christmasologists and the leading authority on Rudolph's life.
I think I've read a couple of his books.
Yeah. And
they're
very interesting.
They're quick, but really weighty reads.
So a lot of the stuff about his story is kind of true that we know about. Rudolph was indeed pretty much low man on the totem pole at school, but not because of his nose, which didn't glow and which wasn't red, except when he was having one of his outbreaks of cystic acne.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But he was low man because he was scrawny and nerdy and he got good grades. It's true that the other reindeer laughed at him and called him names, and it's also true that they excluded him from their reindeer games. But it went beyond that. They regularly vandalized his locker with deer urine. They were constantly giving him wedgies, and at least once a month, if not more, there was at least one humiliating pantsing out in the schoolyard.
That's
so he
How
had
do
a rough
you pants
time.
A reindeer?
Does it matter?
Yeah.
It kind of does.
Does it?
No.
Yeah. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, "Rudolph, with your nose so bright, will you?" No, that's not what happened. Not what happened at all. Rudolph, as you can imagine, was a little bit bitter, and so he decided he was going to spoil some people's Christmas. So he cultured himself some E. coli, and he went down to the Beef and Brew on the east side of Christmastown, where reindeer families tended to congregate, especially around the holidays. And so for the 2 days before Christmas Eve, he dusted the salad bowl with E. coli. And he wanted to spoil his fellow reindeers and classmates' Christmas by making sure they were sick as dogs. And it worked.
Sick as dogs or sick as elves?
Well, yeah, sick as reindeer, I guess. But, so it succeeded. It went a little beyond his hopes. And he actually sickened about 90% of the reindeer population of Christmastown, which left Santa short of labor on Christmas Eve. So that the weather that day was not foggy. It was clear and cold. But Santa was short one deer. And so he didn't come to Rudolph and say, "With your nose so bright, will you guide my sleigh tonight?" He just basically said, "Rudolph, with my team all sick."
I really need you, dude.
I need some help here, brother.
Rudolph. Yeah, and so he did not guide the sleigh. He was actually rearing on the right, and he didn't get the really choice position at the front. Yeah, and unfortunately for Rudolph, it did actually it earned him a little grudging admiration from the other reindeer, but it was only short-lived, and pretty soon they were back to their sick reindeer games and tormenting poor Rudolph again. So after that, his foray into guiding, or not guiding, but helping to pull Santa's sleigh, a little time went by, and eventually some forensic work was done. And they managed to figure out that Rudolph was actually the guy behind the poisoning. And I don't think I mentioned that besides a lot of people getting sick, several reindeer died from E. coli. E. coli kills people.
And it kills reindeer.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and elves, I'm sure.
Yeah, it does. And
except
people.
For the densest elves.
Yeah,
like Hermie.
After all this came out, Santa scratched his head and decided it would be a good idea to put Rudolph on trial for murder since he'd killed several reindeer, and he took it to the elven DA's office, and they pointed out that since he's since people who died or the reindeer who died were not humans or elves, the most Rudolph could be charged with was poaching. Rudolph lawyered up. His attorney worked a deal with the prosecutor's office, and he wound up pleading guilty to two counts of first-degree poaching and one count of hunting without a license. Served a little over a year in the pen, and when he got out, he changed his name, and he moved to Presentburg, which is a seedy suburb of Christmastown. Yeah, it's just below Ribbentown. And he was never asked to guide Santa's sleigh again, for obvious reasons. But he actually did all right. He wound up owning and operating a small chain of liquor stores. And after that, his fate is unknown. Oh, and last of all, his nickname was not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It was Rudolph the Red for the blood on his hands. So,
hooves.
So, kids, I hope you enjoyed
blood
that
on his
Christmas
hooves?
Story. Yeah, blood on his hooves, yeah. So, another heartwarming Christmas tale. Any questions?
No, I don't think there's any questions in that obviously fantastical idea that you've got there, Joe.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb.
Hey, no, are you questioning Professor Morgenthau? Professor Hans Morgenthau?
I'm not going to say that I am. Yeah. What I am going to say is that for all of our listeners, if you want to if you're listening to this episode on our website, which by the way is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com, you can always find the show shows there and all of our research links. You can also go ahead and find us on iTunes. If you're there, take the time to leave a comment and a rating. We're also on Stitcher. We're on a lot of other apps and other sites. So there's a whole host of places that you can find us and stream us and download us. You can always go ahead and send us an email. That email address is thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. We've of course got the Twitter account. So find us
Twitter.
Thinking Sideways. So we are there. And of course, Facebook. We all love Facebook, and we are on Facebook. We've got the Facebook page. We got the Facebook group. Tons of people on there. Great conversations. So find us, friend us, like us, all that good Christmas jazz.
Hey,
and that's all of that good stuff. Now, I just got to say right now, Joe, you're wrong. He was totally engineered.
He was engineered. He's an alien. He is a natural occurrence.
Believing they had cracked the case. Like a Christmas chestnut, they went on and on like this into the night. Really, it never seemed to stop. Happy holidays to you and yours from the Thinking Sideways team.